Blog Talk Radio.
Who will stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will. Who will stand against our King? No one can, no one will. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus, victory belongs to Him. Oh, 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 oh,
that the victory belongs to Jesus. Amen. That's Todd Delaney. That's one of my favorite songs by that brother. You know, he sure can make a worship song. God bless you, everybody. God bless you, and welcome to another live episode of God's Word to Man. I am Manny, your dear brother in Christ. And I am so happy you decided to join us this Tuesday evening. You know what it is. Every Tuesday, God has blessed us with an opportunity to come to you on this platform and share God's word with each and every one of you. And we don't let it stop there. Honestly, we haven't had a call in a while, but that's okay. I'm still going to offer you the opportunity to call in tonight with your question about the topic, with a prayer request, or if you have a comment, feel free to call in. The number to do so is 563-999-3552. Again, that number is 563-999-3552. I am so grateful and so thankful that God gives us this opportunity to work in His kingdom. That's what this is, kingdom work. Are you glad to be employed today by the kingdom of the Most High God? I know I am. Amen. Because the benefits are crazy, just so you know. Amen. Amen. Tonight, we have a topic, the title of this lesson, The Unstoppable God. Amen. The Unstoppable God. We're going to be reading out of scripture in Job, 42nd chapter. Job, 42nd chapter. So if you have your Bibles, your tablets, your iPhones, computers, whatever you read your word on, I want you to get them out now. Because I got a feeling that the Rev is going to take us through the scripture and really break this thing down, the unstoppable God. And, of course, as I said, I'm never by myself on the broadcast. I always have my dear brother with me, and I'm going to bring him on now. God bless you, Rev. How are you today?
I am blessed, my brother. God bless you. How you doing?
Hey, man. I'm excited. I'm excited to always be on the broadcast with you. Even when we go on Thursdays, Transformation Thursday, I'm always excited to learn something new, for God to touch me in a way that he never has before. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to say a prayer, then I'm going to let Pastor Murphy go ahead and get going with the lesson. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you, not only for the breath in our lungs, being in our right minds, but for this moment in time right now. We're forgetting about the past, laying aside every weight and every sin that so easily beset us, and we run. We have on our track shoes, Lord. We want to run toward you. We pray in the name of Jesus that our minds will be illuminated, that we receive an impartation from on high. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, take control. Give the man of God the words you want him to speak today about this topic. And Father, I pray that your perfect will be done in Jesus Christ's name. May the people be encouraged and uplifted and inspired and blessed on tonight in Jesus Christ's name. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Brother Manny?
Yes, sir.
You kind of inspired me the other day when you sent me the about Matthew 17.
Okay.
And I kind of got to thinking, and I asked Holy Spirit to, give me something around kind of this, what you were talking about, dealing with the power of God and what it really looks like. And oftentimes, the world would have us to believe that power is the ability of an individual to be able to do whatever they want, whenever they want, as often as they want, with no restraint. That's real power as the world would see it defined. But you really showed me something, and I think we had talked about it before, about true power lies in the ability to not only be able to have the ability to do something, but the restraint to be able to not to do it when it goes against the will of God.
Amen.
It's difficult to have a power that says my power can trump any and every situation, but right now God does not want me to exercise that power. And before I comment on the particular issue with that that you raised that day, it's like us having a conversation with somebody and they say something that is completely untrue, it's false, and we're in front of a bunch of individuals, and we could flex our cognitive muscle, we could flex our brain power, and we could shut them down in front of other people, and we could treat them in such a way as to let them know you have zero idea about what you're talking about, but I have the answer. And we can embarrass them to no end, right?
Yeah.
But when you possess that power as a Christian, God expects a level of restraint and compassion, and more important, obedience to be attached with that power, because just because you're right, it's not always prudent that you be right in that moment.
Right. Amen.
Jesus was on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if anybody had a reason to not complete the finished work of the cross, it's Jesus. And we're going to get to Job 42:2 in a moment, but this is a foundation for that, because when we understand that a week prior to the crucifixion, people were saying, Hosanna.
Yeah.
They were singing, Hosanna. And basically a week later, some of the same individuals were saying, crucify him.
Amen. Yes, they were.
Jesus very easily could have gotten his feelings and said, you know what? I ain't dying for these hypocrites. I ain't dying for these backstabbers. Somebody said this to me today, Brother Manny, and it blessed me. Think about this, Manny. That same Jesus who knew Judas was going to betray him, he knew Judas was going to betray him. He knew he was a son of perdition, but he still gave him a chance to do right. That's real power.
Yeah.
And Jesus even died for the same Peter who denied him. You see what I'm saying? Like, Peter.
Amen.
Weren't you the guy that said you would never deny me? Weren't you the guy who said who cut off a person's ear for me, Peter? And here you are. Here you are denying me. But real power says, I'm still going to even die for Peter.
Mm-hmm.
I've been beat all night long, flesh coming off my bone. They pulled my beard out, a strand of hair at a time. They spit on me. They slapped me. They pressed a crown of thorns in my head. I'm bleeding everywhere. I'm unrecognizable. People are mocking me. You saved others, save yourself. But what does Jesus do? He exercises power by not calling a legion of angels to come down and wipe everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
That's power right there. He didn't have to prove anything to anybody. He could have said, oh, so you don't think I'm really Jesus? I tell you what, I'm going to wipe out this whole scene. Everybody here dead.
Yeah.
He could have flexed his muscles,
easily.
But he didn't. He flexed his other muscle and kept quiet.
Oh, yeah.
And finished the assignment. That is real power.
Real power. Amen.
That's real power. We find Job here talking about our unstoppable God. And I'm going to read from the Berean Study Bible. And it says, I know that you can do all things and that no plan of yours can be thwarted. Let's be very clear. I'm going to read this again, but I'm going to interchange who Job is talking about. Job says that he knows that God can do all and that no plan of God, no plan of God can be thwarted, can be stopped, can be interrupted, can be foiled. As I begin to look at this, the Holy Spirit shared something with me, Brother Manning. There are people, Manny, and I know you can attest to this, who when they speak, they're believable because they are an authority on the subject in which they're talking about.
Amen.
They are extremely familiar with the subject or the person or the individual, or in this case, Job was extremely familiar with God. This is not Job reaching for straws. This is not Job taking a stab in the dark. This is Job speaking out of a relationship that he has with God. It is clear from this verse alone, in my estimation, that Job knows God. But
Amen.
What is even more clear to me, Brother Manny, more than Job knowing God, it is abundantly clear to me that God knows Job. In fact, I would say that God has referred to Job as his friend.
Mm-hmm.
It is a relationship that exists between Job and God that gives Job the authority, the ability to speak in a manner that is believable to me or to the listener or the reader, because Job obviously knows God and God knows Job. And how do I know this? Because the whole story of Job is God asking Satan, has he considered Job? This is what I do know, Brother Manny. God is not asking Satan to consider everybody.
Come on.
Because God,
amen.
Because God knows better than any of us who will fall subject to the devil and who will not. Satan in this particular instance, in particular, is not very smart, because he essentially makes a bet or dares God without having the cognitive understanding to know that God knows all and knows the end before the beginning. And so why would you challenge God on something that God knows already the answer to, Satan? Why would you even challenge God? God knows the outcome before the outcome even comes to pass, because he's all-knowing. He's not just knowing in the moment. He's not just knowing from the past, but God has a timeless understanding of everyone's behavior, decisions, conversations, the whole nine yards. And so when God allows Satan to do what he does to Job, God understands the reasoning behind it, and he also already understood the outcome, and he knew that Job would be able to withstand this test. And that's how,
amen,
I knew that God knew Job, and Job knew God. Job says, naked came I into this world, and I also am going to exit it the same way. And people say, well, you know, when he was buried, I'm sure he had clothes on. Listen, study the Bible. Don't just read it. Job was not speaking of an exterior apparel that he would have upon his death. Job was simply letting us know there was nothing that he came into the world with, and there's surely nothing he can take out of this world. The Bible says that,
amen,
Job was the most righteous man of them all. I'm here to tell you, Brother Manny, you don't get to become the most righteous man of them all and not know God and God not know you.
Come on. Amen.
See, it is in our lack of relationship that mistrust and doubt festers. It is in our lack of ability to give it all to God without taking it back that is founded in our lack of consistent relationship. Because when you know, Manny, there's some things about your wife that nobody has to tell you, because from relationship, you know her.
Amen.
You don't have to be present. You don't have to witness it. But when there's some things that somebody can say that your wife either said or did, and you're able to attest or deny because of relationship.
Amen.
Job said, I can tell you about my Heavenly Father, about my God, because I know him. I'm not speaking from a realm of guessing about God. I am telling you because I know who he is, hallelujah, because I have lived my life in such a way to be pleasing before him that not only do I know him, but he knows me. And I'm here to tell you that when it comes down to it, I know because I have a relationship. He said, Job says this. This is what I surmised just from the I know piece. Based on his memory, coupled with God's resume, Job was left without any doubt about this statement. The question is, Brother Manny, do we remember what God has done for us in times past? Do we understand God's resume, who he is, what he's capable of? that there's nothing that is left to restrain God. He says, I know. He opens this sentence up with, this verse up with, I know. How do you know, Job? Job said, if I just went off of memory, if I just stopped, back in the day, the old folks used to say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I think sometimes we allow Satan to pervert our memories and to cause us to zero in on the present so hard till we become people who walk in selective amnesia and we forget, wasn't I in a situation that seemed hopeless before? And did not God bring me out last time?
Mm-hmm.
And not even just in our own lives. Brother Matty, I'm just convinced there's too many people within the body of Christ that we give up on people way too often. That we say that this person or these people are hopeless or helpless, when the truth of the matter is, and when God is involved, there's no situation that's hopeless or helpless.
This is true.
And too many times, I think we do it because we don't remember what God has already done. And we don't know Scripture. We don't know his word, hallelujah, which supports, hallelujah, what he's capable of, nor do we have the kind of relationship that says, no, my daddy excels in moments like this. My father does. He thrives in the impossible. I don't know. If you want to jump in, go ahead, Brother Manny. If not, I can keep on. I got a lot of more.
Well, I heard a preacher say that this generation's believers are some of the most giving up Christians that ever were. We don't want to go through anything. We don't want to feel pain. We think everything should be blessings and prosperity.
Yeah.
I think we got drunk off the prosperity message.
Yeah.
And here in this story, you really got to go read the book of Job. Because,
yeah,
as you,
yeah,
said, God called Job his friend.
Yeah.
So, as you said, God knew Job, and Job knew God. And so throughout that entire chapter, everybody was telling Job it was his fault.
Yeah.
Everybody was,
yeah,
telling Job and reminding him every single day, hey, listen, man, you messed up, champ.
You messed up.
You messed up. I mean, there can't be no other explanation. I mean, you don't think all his friends and the people around him knew he was the best out of all of them as far as his,
yeah,
relationship with God?
Yeah.
Don't you know that there's people, when you're getting close to God, they waiting for you to
yeah,
fall. They're waiting for you to go through something because they want to see if you for real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so somebody would say, like you said, well, the devil knew the outcome. Well, the devil also, when he called himself puffing his chest out and said, yeah, I'm going to ascend to the size of the north and be like Most High, he knew then also that God knew the beginning from the end. Yet he still rebelled. Why? Because his pride, his arrogance, his lust for true power, it blinded him from reason. And so he thought, well, if God knew I failed, if God knew I was going to fall, maybe he knows that Job is going to fall too. I'm going to do everything I can to him. I'm going to turn everybody against him. And even Job, if you read in Job, Job was like, hey, God, I'm your guy. What's really good?
I don't understand
why I'm going through all of this.
Yeah.
And so I like God's response to him, which in turn made Job respond how he responded in 42.
The Lord said,
the Lord spoke in Job 38. He spoke out of a storm and said, he said, in verse 4, where were you when I laid the first foundation? Tell me, if you understand, who marked off his dimensions? Surely you know. Because you're going to question me.
Yes, sir.
And there's a lot more there. But I just wanted to pull that out of it because Job is like, just me, God. I pray all day, every day. We walk around talking to each other. I'm your boy.
And his
so-called friends are not making it any better.
Mm-hmm.
These so-called religious folks, these so-called folks that are supposed to be also his brothers, people who are believers, you definitely sinned. You wasn't as righteous as we thought.
Yeah.
I mean, how else do you explain all of this happening to you? And what God had to get him to see, listen, wait a minute. Hold up. Before you say something, you're not going to be able to take back. Let me stop you right here.
Yeah.
And so in 42 is where you see Job say, hey, my bad.
I was tripping.
It don't matter what happens because you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me.
Yeah.
I'm at fault. My mind was messed up. I was dwelling on what I was actually going through instead of concentrating on you, awaiting the time you would bring me out. Right?
Yeah.
Because I know you, I know that there's a plan behind it. And I know that since you have a plan, can't nobody stop it.
Yeah.
Not my friends, not my wife, not me losing my land, not me getting sick. And let's just be honest. The man had boils all over his body. If you ever had a boil, once them suckers pop, how bad they smell, how bad they hurt.
Mm-hmm.
The man had boils all over his body. He was sick.
Yeah.
God allowed the devil to do every imaginable thing to the man except take his life.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us would have persevered through that? How many of us would have continued to trust God through boils? I mean, forget the stuff. Forget the wife.
He lost
his children.
Yeah, yeah.
He lost his land. He was, if not the richest man alive.
Yeah.
And he lost it all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the boils. Sick every day in your body. I just needed to bring that out because he went through stages, man.
Yeah.
That whole book, he went through stages. And here you see the culmination of him saying, ah, you know what, God?
Mm-hmm.
You right. My bad. I was tripping.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to hear anything mm-hmm. else out of me. No, I'm done.
Right.
I give in to your will, your perfect will, whatever it is, though you slay me, though you
yep,
kill
yep,
me,
well, that's
if you never do another thing.
Yeah.
Amen.
No, bro, that was excellent, because it highlights and brings authenticity to his ability to say this. Like, this was not like some person who never went through anything saying this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because then you can say, well, mm-hmm. man, I mean, I don't know. Everything you ever asked God for, he gave you. You ain't never went through
mm-hmm.
a hard time in your life. You know what I'm saying? You
mm-hmm.
was the richest man that was. You don't know what it means to be impoverished, blah, 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 right? But
right.
When we understand the story that he lost his children and they were killed tragically, It ain't like they fell asleep and never woke up.
Mm-hmm.
They were killed tragically. He lost
yeah.
his cattle, his whole ability to gain wealth and maintain wealth was gone. On
yeah.
top of like what you said, what happened to his physical body, and then he cursed the day he was born, but he never cursed God, which is what the devil said. He told God he was going to be able to get a little dude.
Mm-hmm.
And even when his wife was talking crazy, just curse God and get that. Lady, if you don't get out of my face, if you don't go somewhere and make some lamb stew or something and leave me alone. But this is somebody who went through and understood. You talk about Paul. And we're going to deal with this in the next couple of weeks, that whole contentment piece from Philippians 4 and 13. In the next few weeks, we're going to deal with that, Murph. But
okay.
You're talking about even before the New Testament and Paul talking about contentment, this is Job's story back in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Job understood what it was like to have plenty and then have nothing. That's the whole idea behind naked. I came into the world naked. I'm going to leave. And, man, so he has, listen, when Job is talking, I'm listening because he has the authority and the pedigree to be able to say what he's saying.
Amen.
And be able to be believable about it. You know, our cognitive understanding of God's ability should encompass our knowledge of God's lack of limitation. Manny, God don't have no limitations. That's why we got to know the word of God. What is my God capable of? Everything. What can't my God do? There's nothing he can't do. So then why am I sitting over here worried about what's going to happen? Because I need to grow my faith through growing my relationship with God.
Amen.
It should be second nature. Lack of faith, insufficient faith, should never be found among the mature believer. Notice I say the mature believer. You have zero business being in church multiple years, and then your faith is still it is either declined or it hasn't grown at all over the years you've been in church. That tells me you're just there and there's no real relationship. Because if there was a real
yeah.
relationship, there's some things that wouldn't come out of the believer's mouth as it relates to their situation. And there's other things that would come out of their mouth as a result of their situation. You speak different when you know the word of God, when you know the ability of God. You speak different because you know different.
Mm-hmm.
When we know that there's no scenario that exists whatsoever that prevents God intention on how he's going to handle whatever it is, Brother Manny. See, this is what I mean by growing from seed, mustard seed faith to the gift of faith. Do we think Job had mustard seed faith? Of course he didn't. Because as often as Job prayed, he had the gift of faith because he knew, because God, he knew what God was saying to him. My question to us tonight is, do we know what God is saying about our situation? And if he's not verbally, audibly saying it to us, what is he saying to us through his word? What is he saying to us through prophetic voices? What is he saying to us? And if you don't know, then we got to get into a quiet place so we can know. We got to get into the study of his word so we can know. God's plan has been established, and it is bound by his divine voice. God's word is obedient the very moment he speaks it, Brother Manny.
Amen.
Everything involved has to come into alignment. Whatever the pieces are to that puzzle, Manny, they got to come together. They don't even have a choice. They can't say, no, God, I'm not coming. No, you don't have a choice.
Don't have a choice.
And there's even times, Brother Manny, he can supersede our will. Because guess what? He created us. The Creator can supersede the will of the creation if he chooses. There are times that God has heard us say certain things, Brother Manny, and you know what he did? He ignored us.
Yep.
He don't know what he's saying. But there are other times he go ahead and honor what you said. And you know why he can go back? He can do either or, Manny. Do you know why he can do that? Because he's sovereign God. But it will behoove us to get in position to know what he's doing so we can't speak counterproductive to what he's doing. But make no mistake about it, Brother Manny. When God speaks a word, the moment that that word comes out of his mouth, it is on assignment, and it has to go and do what God told it to do.
Amen.
And I got news for us, Brother Manny. A lot of what God has spoken, if not everything he has spoken, was spoken even before we existed.
That's true. Amen. That's true.
He not rising, and when I say rising, I don't mean to imply that he sleep because God does not sleep. But God is not saying, God is not going to say tomorrow, which is Wednesday, in the earth realm. He's not going to say, let me see what I'm going to do for Joseph today. He's already spoke what tomorrow holds for me, and it has to come to pass, man. And especially if I'm lining up with his will, if we have to get in alignment if we want to see the abundance of God, the overflow of God. Yes, yeah, sure, God could just give you what he gives the unjust. He could, yes. That's how I know that he can supersede the will of anybody. Because the unjust don't deserve certain things, but he still gives them to them anyway. He still allows the atheist to wake up. And if one of us was God, well, I can't say you, but if I was God, I might not allow the agnostic or the atheist to wake up. I might not allow some of these other religions. You see what I'm saying? If you want to hate me or if you want to say I exist, I'll tell you what. We'll have that conversation face to face. But it'll be a brief conversation because you ain't staying here.
Amen.
But do we understand? I want to say this, and I know it ain't going to make a lot of sense, but do we understand who we're dealing with when it comes to God? And Job is laying it out. And Job is laying it out because, like you said, he had the course correct. God, I was tripping. But the one thing I love about God, Brother Manny, is he knows our humanity. He knows our weak moments. And Brother Manny, even him checking Job was out of love.
Mm-hmm.
And make no mistake about it, he checked him. My dude, what was you when I flung the stars in space, hung the sun and the moon? What were you at? When I told the oceans don't go any further, stop right there. That's the end of your boundary. Where were you, sir? And if I can do that, in fact, I did do it, you think your situation is beyond me? And again, Manny, Job's situation wasn't just for Job. It was to help even us and beyond our generations to understand that tough times will come, but don't let those tough times define who God is or his lack of ability to speak into your situation or do something about that situation. Because I love how you said how we have gotten drunk on prosperity. You think everything's supposed to be blessings, 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 and no hard times whatsoever. That ain't reality.
That's not even Bible.
Not even Bible. Or else Jesus wouldn't have went to the cross. Let this cup pass, Daddy. Nevertheless, not my will. Thy will be done. Some of us ain't saying nevertheless. Some of us just saying, let this cup pass, Heavenly Father. I can't deal with this. Do you understand the brevity of boils, and once they burst, then a scab build up,
mm-hmm.
and all of that, and like you said, the stench that comes with it,
all over his body, the pain.
And you trying to tell me about this or that? God has invested a lot to ensure his plan, not ours, comes to pass. Holy Spirit is his investment. Jesus is his investment. The Word of God is his investment. He says, I know that you, God, can do all things, and that no plan of yours. Manny, I wanna. How many of us actually seeks God to find out if what we're dealing with or going through is in God's plan? Because if it's part of his plan, Manny, we can pray till the cows come home. We can pray till we're blue in the face. Guess what? It ain't going to change a single solitary thing. Mm-hmm. And somebody would say, well, why would God allow discomfort or pain or death or hurt? Why would God allow that in my life? How is that beneficial to me? Well, God doesn't waste what he does. Everything he does or everything he allows, he said, I'll make it work out for your good.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is not why, God. The question is, God, if this is part of your plan, I want to know so that I can acquiesce accordingly. And even if this is not your plan, then God, I give this completely to you because I know you're going to step in and rescue me from even myself. Right now, because I have a repentant heart, I have a contrite spirit, I'm sorry that, God, I didn't follow your plan. Forgive me. The Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us. And we repent sincerely from our heart. But when it's part of his plan, God, and how, again, do I know? It comes from relationship. There are some things that you ought to be able to say because of your relationship with God. God allowed this. And now that I know he allowed it, I know he's not going to allow it to kill me. What I need to do is get very still so that I can see what he is trying to use this thing for, what he's trying to develop in me. How is this going to benefit me? How is this going to mature me? Because no matter what I'm dealing with, I'm not just dealing with it for the moment. God is trying to grow me and mature me. He's trying to grow my faith, stretch my faith. He's trying to get me off of milk to solid food. He's trying to get me from this place of mustard seed faith to a place of gift of faith. And this trial, this tribulation is the vehicle to get me there. Because when you can start looking at situations for what they really are, Brother Manny, that says you are in relationship with God, not in relationship with religion. I'm in relationship with God. That's how Job could tell his wife she was crazy. Woman, you sound like a fool. I ain't cursing God. I might not like what I'm going through, but there's some things I'm not going to do. How many of us say that, Brother Manny? I know I don't like what I'm going through. No, I don't enjoy what I'm going through, but I'm not going to give up on God. I'm not going to talk crazy to the one person that can do something about my situation instantly, or the one person that can sustain me in the midst of it. And the reason that I need to walk in relationship with God is because guess what? Even if the devil has his hand in this thing, he cannot stop God, because God is unstoppable.
Amen.
I'm gonna be soon working on a message about the Red Sea was not for you, it was for Pharaoh.
Come on, man.
Because we got this thing twisted, man. We see issues and we think, man, you done forsake me, God. You forsake me, God. Why? The children of Israel, we could have stayed in Egypt. He brought us out here. Now we're trapped by the Red Sea. Pharaoh's on the other side. The Red Sea ain't for y'all, children of Israel. I'm gonna part this sea, and y'all gonna walk across on dry land. Miracle. How do you part a sea, Manny, and the bed of the sea is dry? How do you do that?
God.
How is that not mud? How is it not mud? The Red Sea not for you. It's for Pharaoh. And that's what we got to start understanding when it comes to God. We're not dealing with some regular Joe. We're dealing with the only true and living unstoppable God. I brought you to the Red Sea so you can witness several miracles. I brought you to the Red Sea so you could see me deal with your enemy. That's why you're at the Red Sea. I didn't bring you here to drown you. Before you got here, I had a way of escape. Come on, man. This is blessing my socks off. Before you got to the trial, I already provided a way of escape. But I have to allow the trial to do what it do, because I'm trying to bring something out of you. I'm trying to grow something in you that only this trial can produce. Because some of y'all wouldn't even pray to me if you wasn't going through. So from time to time, I got to let you go through a little something. Because that's how much I want to be in a relationship. Ain't that something, Brother Manny? In the world, we wouldn't go for that. In a regular relationship, we wouldn't go for that. But God says, I love you. I don't conditionally love you. I unconditionally love you. I love you even when you're being unlovable. I still love you. What kind of God is that, Brother Matty?
It's an unstoppable God.
Yeah. I was going to say, man, it's out of you.
I just want to leave the listeners really quick before we get off the line.
Yep.
Because we have the prayer line at 9 p.m. For all those that would love to join the prayer line, if you have a prayer request, if you just want to hop on and just listen, if you just, you know, whatever, you want to touch and agree with us, you know, I'm happy that you could join. I just want to go ahead and give you the information. Amen. The number is 716-427-1082. Again, that phone number is 716-427-1082. And you're going to put in the access code 245-064-pound. Again, that access code is 245-064-pound. Amen. Before we get out of here, I want to leave a couple of things with you here. Sometimes God allows us to go through what we go through. And it's going to sound real simplistic, so that he can bless us on the other side of it and be glorified in it. There's multiple reasons why things are happening. I want you to look at Job, really look at Job and see that he endured something. And what we get happy about and what most preachers end on is, and God restored everything that he lost, double for his trouble. How many times have you heard preachers say that?
Absolutely.
But we want to get straight to the restoration without going through the trial. We want the triumph without tribulation. So understand something. You're going to go through something if you want to be elevated. If you want to be blessed, if you want that breakthrough at the end, you have to go through something. Well, Brother Manny, where does it say that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked, because I like going to Bible. In the book of Romans, 8th chapter, 17th verse. I'm going to start at the 16th verse. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs.
Yeah.
Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Here's the caveat. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Are you willing to suffer? Well, Brother Manny, that's just one scripture. Okay. 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter. 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter. Amen. And I believe that's also 12th verse as well. Let me just find it here. It says, it says here, 12th chapter, 5 and 11 verse. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. So if he's saying we have to endure something in order to reign with him, that means we're going to have to go through something. But you know what also, what that also lets me know? Is that the plan is already written and it's unstoppable. So all you have to do is hold on and persevere. That's what Job taught us.
hold on and persevere. And there may be times you may get a little weak, and you may say, hey, God, what's going on here? But just remember who stretched out the heavens. Just remember who created the earth, and as Pastor said, hung the sun and the moon and the stars and put everything in its place. That same God is going to take care of you. God bless you. May God keep you and protect you and your family is my prayer. I love you. Don't forget Transformation Thursdays, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on the Caring Church of Memphis Facebook page. Throwing that out there. You guys have the information for the prayer line. I'm going to toss it to Rev.
Amen. And don't forget, God cares. He does. He really does. And so does the Caring Church. Be blessed, everyone.
Amen.
Against our King, no one.